Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Yo, 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 what's up? This your boy Pat P and Brian McFadden with All Things Cover. We got a very, very special guest. The number one requested guest.
No question.
From the fans. From the listeners,
he here.
From you,
he here.
He's here. Chris Boyd, 2018 first team Big 12, got drafted in 2019 seventh round to the Minnesota Vikings. You can find him on Instagram at Chris Boyd Chris_Boyd2.
Yep.
And you know, like I always said, my favorite teammate, University of Texas, my guy. Better known as KB, the fans most wanted.
Yes, sir.
What's happening?
Hey, what up, baby?
Hey, we finally got you on, Chris. I told you, man, yeah. No cap. They've been hollering for you, asking for you. Got to get Chris Boyd on. Guess what? He here. He here now.
Yeah, man. Oh, and also, too, if y'all do follow with him on Instagram, he is a TikTok king. Don't let him fool you.
He's a who?
A TikTok king.
No, that's hidden.
Oh, wait a minute. Would you be a TikTok dancer?
No, TikTok. I ain't got one.
Nah, he don't dance. Matter of fact, that'd be his phone. It'd just be his regular video phone.
You just said he on TikTok, bro, right?
I thought it was TikTok, but you know, they be having all the filters and stuff.
Oh, he a filter guy.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I thought Blake got you on his last video. I was about to say, but he didn't. That was me he got.
Nah, he didn't get me, Jack. Hey, he didn't get me. Hey, but Chris, man, welcome to the show, man. It's a pleasure to finally have you on. We're going to kick it off with this one, man. Very easy question for you, my guy. What was it like, you know, being from Texas and having an opportunity to represent the University of Texas, the Longhorns?
Yeah. I ain't gonna lie, it meant a lot. Especially just like being like from there, the hometown, you know, the home state, should I say. Having my cousin, Curtis Brown, he was like my first or second cousin.
Man. Curtis, is your cousin?
Curtis Brown, you know Curtis Brown?
He played with me in Pittsburgh.
Oh, yeah.
31, little quick Curtis, light skinned Curtis, third round pick, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, sir. Coach Kenny's the cop. Yeah.
I didn't know y'all were red. Yeah, that's what's up.
Yes, sir. So him going to the University of Texas, seeing like everything he did and accomplished, and from the same hometown, and I mean, I just was driven to like go out there, do the same thing. Seeing him go win that championship with Vince Young and him, I sat there and watched it, cried in the living room. I'm like, yeah, that's okay. Once the time came. Like I had all type of offers rolling in. I didn't know where I was gonna go. Didn't even think I was gonna go to Texas at all. But shit, time came. I sat there, thought about it, talked to my family, my brothers, and that was another major reason that I went to the University of Texas because I wanted my little brother to play with me. We played together like since we was in little league together. And when they offered me, they offered him.
Mm-hmm.
So. When the time came, signing day, I went up there and signed, and the rest was history. Got there freshman year, did what I was supposed to do to make an impact on the team. Coach Strong, I want to tell give a shout out to Coach Strong right now personally because he got me through some things that I was dealing with freshman year.
Mm-hmm.
But got past that sophomore year, was starting ever since, and. We weren't really doing too good, I say, freshman, sophomore years, and like being a winning tradition and trying to bring that back to the University of Texas. And that was one of the main reasons I wanted to go there, to change that. So junior year came, Coach Herman came in. We made it to like our first bowl game after not making it like since I've been there. And then the next year we went to the Sugar Bowl.
And against Georgia?
Yep, against Georgia. Teed up, handled our business. And then I ended up here with the Vikings. And I say my senior year was the year I wanted and was the reason that I did commit to the University of Texas, because I wanted to go out there and just pretty much just, like I said, bring the winning tradition back to the school. Mm-hmm. I felt like going out there and winning the Sugar Bowl, coming from not making a bowl game to going out there to competing in the Big 12 championship as well, to going to win the Sugar Bowl was like a big accomplishment for me and for me and my team. You know, that was something that we had pretty much like dedicated ourselves. We talked about it, that training, as a team, like, you know, we would always have like players led team meetings in camp sometime. And I remember the first one we had, we just sat there, looked at each other like, this ain't gonna be the same. This is not gonna be the Texas that we done seen for these past years. And we went out there and did it.
Was Florida State a real option for you?
I was gonna commit to Florida State when I went on my visit. For the camp, it was Coach Brewster. Yeah, I went with Coach Brew. I remember. I had drove to
Florida. Tight end coach.
Yeah, I had drove to Florida State for that camp, and I had stayed for a couple of days, and I was with PJ Williams and Jamius.
Yep.
So I was kicking it with them, but I did pretty good at the camp, and Coach had called me in. Coach Fisher had called me in to the office, and he was like, we been gave you the offer. We just wanted to see you. Mm-hmm. And like, he was trying to get me to talk. And this is another thing that I kind of would go back and like kind of look at the commitment process a little different of going to the schools out of state and thinking like, they just want me because like I'm a top player. But once I get here, they're going to start playing the players that's in the state and not really worry about me because I'm an out-of-state player. But that's something that I had in my head. Had I had a chance to go back, I would kind of get rid of that because I was going to commit to Florida State when I went on the trip.
Man, so what will it take for Texas to truly get back to what they used to be? When you look at the glory years and the consistency of wins and, you know, competing for championships, what is it going to take for them to get back to that level? You got Steve Sarkisian there. I mean, you get in big-time recruits. Recruiter never been an issue for Texas, but for some reason, you guys have been going in the wrong direction when it comes to consistency. So what is it going to take to get back to that level?
You can sit here and give a prep talk. You can sit here and try to give a blueprint, whatever you want to do. This is the game of football, and when you step out there, is those 11 guys versus the other 11 guys. That's going to have to come from within the team, the players. And that locker room, I can tell you that now, and that's what it's always going to be. The coaches can draw whatever type of players they want. Them players are out there and execute it, and ain't nothing going to get done. Mm-hmm. Like at that players-led meeting, that was a players-led meeting in the summer camp before we had that season to go win at Sugar Bowl. The players going to have to come together and just say, this shit, what we got going on, this losing or whatever they got to get fixed, we got to fix that. They got to come together and want to do that themselves. Yeah. Like, you got to be self-driven, self-motivated as a team. You can't be relying on no coach. Any coach, they're going to go what they need to. It's the players that got to go there and execute.
Yeah, I agree. Definitely going to come down to the players coming down to executing. But speaking of executing, what was your greatest play, your opinion, at the University of Texas?
My greatest play?
Yeah.
It would probably be my first play or either... Damn. I got three, but I don't know which one is the best one. Maybe y'all can help me choose.
Let me hear.
So my first play at the University of Texas at the freshman year, it was kind of like a statement play, if you want me to be honest. So we go out there. This is when we wasn't winning either. We opened up the season with Notre Dame and Notre Dame. We losing about 25, 27, 26 to like zero. And we punt. So they called me, hey, go out there. We punt. We kick the ball. All I know is go hit. I'm at Gunner. My first time ever lining up at Gunner. I go past them. All I know is I'm gone. I already been mad because I'm not playing. And this is when I got to UC, I was coming off of two state championships. So I'm not used to this. So I'm already mad. They punt the ball. I'm down at full speed. Then the returner getting ready to catch the ball. First play at the University of Texas. I swept him. Like, he getting ready to catch it. All you see is like a white jersey just flying through there and a ball just pop up. And then like we losing, but you see the whole sideline energy change. And I say that play. And then my sophomore year, I had a game winning pick versus Tech when I played against Pat. This was crazy because me and Pat Mahomes been playing against each other since high school in East Texas. He went to White House. My first play, when I played against him in White House, was a deflection. He had threw it to it was another receiver that was committed to Tech with him. But my coach was like trying to see how I was. I was a freshman. He threw me in there. I'm all right. This time I didn't know of Pat or the receiver. I'm just out there having fun. But then how that play. So I picked him off in college my sophomore year. And then that was the second play of my career. And the third one that I say would probably be my most favorite was my high school quarterback who I had won state with. He went to Texas Tech and we was playing against each other. And I say, like, that was probably my best game at the University of Texas as well. I picked him off and took it back to like the 10. I was mad I didn't score, but that was one of the top plays that I probably would pick if I had to.
I like the Patty Mahomes. I like the Patty Mahomes one.
I'm right there with you.
And speaking of Patty Mahomes, what were the battles like playing against Patty Mahomes in high school? Like, what was the record? You know, I knew you guys probably played against each other at least three times. What was the record? Who's up?
I don't even like talking about high school because it was so unfair. I don't. Like, we won every game.
Okay.
In my high school career, I probably three or four games. Four is me pushing it, but I say probably 3 to 4 games in my school career.
Dang.
But, yeah, wow. Play Pat them. So this is the thing. They was a bigger school too. So I'm thinking like, oh shit. Like, I was a freshman on varsity, but over the time, we were still playing until he left. I'm not knowing. Oh, like, it don't matter how big the school is. Y'all still got to go out there and play.
Yeah.
But it was so shit, after the first year, we just kept playing each other. But I will say this. The year after that, this is when I knew Pat was the real deal. And I want to confirm that he have been throwing the balls like that and the tossing them up.
He's always been doing that?
But he been doing that since high school.
Wow.
I remember today.
I believe it.
Wow. It was a whip. The receiver was Dylan Cantrell. That's the receiver. I remember because he was nice. And how do I know? Because he had caught that one-handed pass on me because Pat threw it. So another play, this is when I knew Pat was a real deal. They was on the goal line coming in. He ran a whip route. He went in, I bit. And when he came back out, I knew I was about to get a like 98-yard interception, like pick six. I was getting ready to pick it because I thought Pat was about to throw it. I'm jumping in the sky, and all I see is the ball come up under me. Right into his hands. And that's when he started flexing, and I knew, I was like, yeah, you the real deal. You're real good.
Yeah, man, and man's always been the guy since day one.
So when he started doing that in college and in the league, I'm like, that really ain't new to me.
You've been saw that.
Yeah.
Yeah. But hey, let's transition to the professional Chris Boyd, right? You coming in year three. Your first 2 years was under a different coaching regime with Coach Zimmer and his staff. But what are your early thoughts of the new staff, specifically speaking, head coach Kevin O'Connell, who is an offensive-minded guy? But what has the vibe been like, been for you guys in the facility around the new coaching staff?
It's been great. I can't lie to you. I love the vibe. I love where he's going with the whole team. The mindset that he have and what he's trying to instill into us, like, I love it all, because what he's saying is like we've already like been pushing towards. And one thing that he does talk about a lot that I really like is like the togetherness of the team.
Mm-hmm.
It's never he or I, it's about we. And he also speaks about like how they're not really focused on like, so like with the last staff, they were like whatever they was dealing with or was scared of, I don't know, but they always like, I don't know, they so. Is I can say what I want on this interview, or like,
yeah, you
know,
I got to say
what you want. So they would walk around with their assholes like tight, like they couldn't move, and would always be strict about everything. Like anytime you messed up, like it's like the world ended. But like KO them, they way more chill, way more relaxed. Like whatever we got to get fixed, we gonna fix it. We can like we gonna keep rolling, bro. Like anybody. Hey, we gonna bounce back, like figure it out. The whole vibe, like everybody way more relaxed. Like, I mean, as a defense, as a whole team, like the vibe, nobody really worried about too much. Like, we really there to enjoy football and learn and just be the best us.
I got a question for both of you guys. Based on what you have seen so far, I know it's still early in the process, but on paper, when you look at the roster from top to bottom on both sides of the football, is this current group of Vikings better than the current group, the past group from a year ago? When you look at the roster, the additions, the draft picks, everything, which team has the best players? I'll say personnel from a year ago or to the current group of guys that you have now.
This one, I'm gonna tell you that now.
And why is that?
Because I'm better than the last year at Chris Boyd.
Okay, I like it.
That's gonna be, if I'm better than the last Chris Boyd, then I know my team gonna be better, because I'll do anything I can.
And what have you improved on? Why do you any role better?
Because taking care of myself, as in like things that I should have been focused on and done last year, or just in general, as being a professional athlete, I began to and take care of, and pretty much just like having a routine, a schedule, knowing yourself, what you need to do to be successful on the field. Also, as in like, with Pat P, I had hit him up. Hey, where you at? I'm out in Atlanta training. I'm on the way. Didn't say nothing. I'm on the way.
Like he was like around the corner. You said I'm on the way.
Up in a position to be great and just learn, like I don't like becoming a sponge. Like when I'm getting off from like practice or something, oh, it ain't gonna hurt to just go upstairs and just like get 30 minutes of a film session. Like 30 minutes ain't gonna hurt because you got the whole day to yourself. Mm-hmm. Like then also staying in the training room, getting up early so you can have extra time to get in there in the morning, get done whatever you need to get done. They just take care of a lot of stuff that could like help me prevail in the long run.
Yeah.
Man, that sounds familiar, Chris.
It sounds like you talking about getting a routine. You don't want to be stay on the routine. That sounds like Pat P. Pat P, same question for you. I mean, what are your thoughts on the roster compared to the roster from a year ago?
I think the roster is definitely better than last year. Because one is, to me, there's no uncertainty about, you know, going into the season. I think everybody is comfortable, you know, right now with the coaching staff, with their job and what they need to do. I just think as well that you got a lot more players that's, you know, reliable, you know, mm-hmm. that's going to be in the lineup for you week in and week out. You know, that's big, you know, if you want to be able to compete in this league, you know. So I think we're definitely better top to bottom. But now, you know, we just have to go out there and pray that it's in the good Lord's will that we can stay healthy to be able to put our best foot forward to compete, to collect as many W's as we can on Sundays.
I mean, I look at a lot of football. But when I look at the additions in the team, if everything stays the course, I mean, I pick you guys to win a division. And that's something that hasn't happened in a long time outside of Packers winning that division. And with that being said, what is the path for this team to be able to compete with the Packers to truly become a contender? Because, you know, if you take care of your business in the division, everything else is easy. You're going to get a seat in the tournament. So what do you guys have to do to be able to be a legit contender within the division, specifically competing with the Packers?
For one, definitely beating them. You know, I thought we started off on a good foot last year, beating those guys at home in the first game. And, you know, kind of the wheels started to fall off towards the end of the season, which I still felt that we competed in that game with our backup quarterback and Sean, you know. So went into that game kind of limping at the back half of the season. But, you know, I feel like we competed in every game, just lost situations, you know, in those games. You know, so I think if we're able to clean up, you know, our situation of football, be a much smarter football team and not make a silly mistakes in crunch time, execute in crunch time at a high level, you know, I think we're going to be right there with the best of them. Yeah, not only in our division, but, you know, with some of the best teams in the league. But that's going to come down to us executing in those situations on Sundays.
What about you, Chris?
I mean, honestly, he said it all. I feel like us as a team, like you said, is this team better than the last team? Like, I feel like we are. And like, I say that because after last year's season, this year, we didn't have the experience I went last year. So now we have like a togetherness kind of knowing how to play off of mm-hmm. each other. And I mean, the offense and the defense. Once you get a team like that, that know how to play together off of each other, like it can get scary. Because I've been a part of a team within these three, four years that I was here where the offense is clicking, but the defense is not. It was a lot going on. But this team is a different, we're the same team, but a different team. So we know how to play together and play with each other. Once we get out there and we start executing, like Pat said, in situational games and stuff like that, and actually going out there executing, then the wins will come into play, and then we will be in position to play for championships and then eventually get that ring.
And one thing that we definitely can hit on is now knowing exactly when you play the teams you're playing. We knew the schedule. We knew exactly who was on the schedule. But now we all know exactly when you play the said teams. Opening week one, you got the Packers at home, right? What type of experience, what type of atmosphere is going to be like for you guys at home in the crib, Skol Nation, against the Green Bay Packers? What type of atmosphere you expected?
You can't hear nothing. You can't hear anything. You feel it's just the vibrations, everything.
Yeah.
I don't know. I can't experience. I remember my first game in the league. We was playing Atlanta, and it was a home opener. Mm-hmm. And now I can't wait to see this one because we had Green Bay during COVID year in the home opener. Mm-hmm. That's it. So now we got U.S. Bank getting ready to get packed out. I can't wait. I just know it's going to be crazy. I feel so good about everything right now and what we about to take off to and what's the it on the Vikings page. This is the start of something great. Like, I'm so crazy that, like, they get to the point where, like, I'm just like, you will see. I get to the point where I'm getting to tell them people, you will see. Yeah. Like, I don't even, like, if you know, you know. Like, that's the home opener, and it's Green Bay. Like, it ain't really nothing else that need to be said. Like, when they be saying, like, it's up and it's stuck, like, that's what it is.
Hey, so I'm gonna go through a few games, and both of you guys let me know exactly. Or I know one of the games that Pat P is fired up about. You know what I mean? Really? But let me know which catches your attention. Of course, the week one matchup at home against the Packers. First Monday night is week two on the road, Philly. You go to London, play against the Saints. You back at home, or you go home. No, you go to Miami versus the Dolphins. Then you week eight, you got the Arizona Cardinals at the crib. Prime time. Afternoon primetime game versus the Cowboys. Thanksgiving night, you got the primetime game against the Patriots. And week 18, you close out, you travel to Chicago. So, Pat P, I already know how you feel about Arizona, but is there any other games that when, you know, you saw the schedule when you're playing these guys, some of the primetime games or some of the notable teams, who else are you circling on the schedule as you're looking at as a big opportunity for you?
You know, I love playing against the Cowboys.
And you guys got Cowboys at home, right? That's home, right? Yeah, that's home. That's home.
Yeah.
They come to y'all Thanksgiving night.
No, we play the Patriots Thanksgiving night. We play the Cowboys week before.
At home, yeah. So, y'all got both Patriots and Cowboys at home. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah,
right.
The Thanksgiving night will be big. Never played on Thanksgiving before. So that'll be huge. But you know, those three, and I told you Miami a couple weeks.
Yeah, you told me Miami. Go to Miami.
Another opportunity to go back home and play.
Yeah. Chris, what about you? What games stick out to you?
I ain't gonna need a lot to you. I feel like besides week one, something that this is before I even got to the NFL, that I was like, man, if I do that, I just want to be a part of one of the teams that get the chance to go and play in London.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Man, that's I'm living my dream, but that's also another dream come true.
Yeah,
like I can't wait.
And I'm warning you now, Chris. You gotta wear seven studs.
Is that what?
Seven studs. I don't even do. Chris even know what seven studs is? They don't even make seven studs no more. Do that.
Oh yeah, yeah they do.
Yes, they do.
He had to wear them last year in Green Bay.
Oh yeah. So what the grass out there is soggy? It's thick. What it is, Pat?
It's the grass is very high. It's thick. But it's like loose stick.
Mm-hmm.
So, and the moisture, because you know, it's not much sun out there. So it's very, very soft. It's very, very moist. So it's going to be almost like a light. You know how, I'm trying to think how I can describe it. It's just going to be soft and like almost like a muddy, sandy, muddy footing. Mm-hmm. So you're not going to be able to wear the motor because all the dirt is going to get stuck between like the teeth and stuff.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you have to wear seven studs.
Yeah.
When I was playing Green Bay, I went out there, no seven studs. It did not take long. The ground was already. Literally, the whole, it was not one DB that did not have seven studs on that did not slip and fall. Literally, the whole.
Yeah.
Not me. I didn't go out there, Cat. I said right on in there
until
it's time to go.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, that's the game was pretty cold, right, Pat P? You told me you wouldn't go wear no sleeves and had on sleeves.
Man, listen, just like Chris said, you know, I always ask, like, man, how the foot in there is out there? Man, nah, man. So you know what I did, Matt? I learned my lesson. Boys said they had no foot out there in the motor bottom. Man, let me go put these studs on. Man, you got time. Then after two, I said, how cold it was it? It's cold out there. I said, yep, it's another confirmed. They put these
old
sleeves on too.
Pat P, man, that's when you play them cold teams, man. You gotta get some extra buys and tries the week of, man. Make sure your buys and tries together.
Man, if we was in the playoffs, if we was fighting for a playoff spot, yeah, I would have did.
Uh-huh.
But I'm trying to buy them to the next week, Jack.
Hey, I got to tell y'all this right quick, highlighting the schedule. The first two games going to tell me all I need to know about the Vikings. The first two games. You start off divisional four at home against the Packers. You travel to an up-and-coming Philadelphia Eagles team that has a lot of hefty expectations. The first 2 weeks, I already know what I'm looking at from the Vikings. You know what I mean? And the reason why I say that is because the Packers are a playoff-caliber team. We know they have championship aspirations. They've owned the division.
Yep.
If you take care of your business against the Packers, okay, now you're going in a different direction. And then if you follow back against the week two against the Eagles, a team that's emerging, got talent on both sides of football. Playoff atmosphere. Was the Packers win mostly a hype because it was the team you're playing against and you hate them, they hate y'all? Are you sleeping at the wheel? Or no, this is who we are. Then you take care of Eagles. Now you already know what time it is. Because, you know, sometimes, and you guys know this being vets, some teams you play differently. It's not directly.
Yeah.
It's not a direct thing. It's just indirectly. It just happens.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like, we get up for teams differently than other teams. You know what I mean? But good teams, they still
get up every Sunday.
They get up every Sunday, and they have the same results.
No doubt about it.
So first 2 weeks for me, it's going to be, uh-oh. Boy, they cooking with gas, or they got to figure things out along the way. You know what I'm saying? That's how it usually happens in the NFL when you look at teams that's trying to search and find out who what their identity is. So that's what I'm looking at. I can't wait to see what the fans have to say about this schedule and what you guys think about this schedule. But in all honesty, guys, well, go ahead, Chris. What you about to say?
Oh no, I just say I think they love it.
Oh, they fired up. That's what I'm saying. The first week of the season is going to be, I mean, they ain't going to have no hotels available. Listen. I tell Pat P this all the time, Chris. If you bring them a Super Bowl, you will forever be good in their eyes. If you bring Minnesota a Super Bowl, I go to Pittsburgh right now and get free groceries I need it. Right now, free groceries. I get a lawn chair. I get me a lazy boy, whatever I need
whatever
right
you
now.
Want.
Yeah. Do that in Minnesota and see what happens.
It's coming, man.
So last, before we get to the superlative part, there's a few questions I want to hit with Chris and Pat P. You shed a little bit about this, but Chris, there's a clip from the team in preseason where your teammates labeled you the most childish player on the team. What did you do to earn that title?
I just laugh and play a lot. I mean, I don't know. I just like no. And this is the thing. This let me just be like, all right, yeah, they can say it. They got it. It's me. I earned the title. It was like 6:40, 7:30 between that time. Somewhere between that time, we waking up and we got me. Getting ready for meetings. So we had breakfast and we was walking to the hall for breakfast, and it was me and Mike Hughes and the bees. And I had did something like messing around with them, and like everybody was laughing, and Mike looked at me. Me and him was trailing in the back of the group. He looked at me and said, "Really? It's 7 a.m, bro."
What'd you do to him? Like,
I said like a joke or something, like just like messing with everybody. And when he said that, like I started dying laughing, and then like it's a joke that me and him like keep between each other.
Yeah.
I hit me up right now and then, like, bro, it's 7 a.m. Like, and out of nowhere, like I just be laughing.
So you that guy that's always ready to joke or brighten up the room.
Yeah. I mean, that's what it is. So like when in high school, my head coach told me one time, like, you either breathing life into people or you sucking it out.
Yeah.
And that's something that just stuck with me. And I just should. I don't want to be like around that. No draining or just giving out bad energy. So I much rather have somebody laugh or smile around me than to be sitting there like pouting or just, you know.
I like that. Yeah. Hey, Pat P, what was that story you told us about Chris, about how he embellished an injury?
Oh, man, Cam. It was Carolina.
It was Carolina?
I cannot remember what he hurt. I think it was like his wrist or something like that.
And he was hollering like he broke, like it fell off.
Oh, man. You would have thought that Chris had no arm. Damn, Chris, what's happening, man? Like, he's on the ground, man, flipping all around.
Was he hollering?
Like, What was he? Damn, Chris, what's wrong? Man, my wrist, man. Oh, your wrist. I can't remember exactly what the injury was, but he knows what I'm talking about.
My ribs against Carolina, I'm telling you, that stuff hurt. Like you know, where like you get that injury where it hurt, it's hurting, and it hurt pretty bad, but you don't know how bad it is. You just know it's hurt. So like, you just doing what you can. Like, I wasn't feeling it, and I'm like, I don't know if it's broke or what, whatever it is right now. It don't feel good.
Hey, so I got it.
I just started yelling out of nowhere. I get to the sideline. I done fell over and everything. I done curled up. They was, you see, I'm like, my wrist. Nothing. I just hold it up. But it was two helmets. And all I know is when it got smashed, I'm surprised it wasn't nothing wrong with it.
Yeah, you could have broke it.
Yeah, but man. I was.
I got to tell you one more, man.
What you got, Pat?
This one was in, we was in camp. It was towards the end of camp. And I can't remember if it was 7-on or 11-on, you know, a full team period, but Chris was in left corner. Can't remember exactly what coverage we was in. The receiver had ran a dig. Chris broke on a route, this, that, and the other. And God knows we don't know what happened. All we see, Chris, he literally just fucked us. Like, he's Superman 4 and start tunneling. Rolling around again. This pre-Carolina. We saw this before. So he rolls around again. We're like, God damn, what's wrong with this? So, you know, when somebody get hurt, they on the ground for a long time. You know, you got to move the pin.
Yeah.
There was already one of them days, them pins. So we moved the pin on. Next thing you know, man, how about two plays later, we see Chris walking completely fine. Man, you would have thought Chris needed a wheelchair, like a stretcher. And after that point, we started calling him Chris Paul. I mean, not Chris Paul.
Paul Pierce.
Like, man, he's Paul Pierce, man.
What you heard on that play?
It was my knees. After watching film and seeing everything, I was laughing myself. Like, yeah, I was good.
It was hilarious.
You said you bumped knees.
Yeah, I bumped knees with D.D. Westbrook.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Hey, Matt, tell me, how about D.D. just got up and walked away?
Wow. Hey, Pat, you say, but so in Carolina, you were like, we already seen this before, but you kind of thought he was for real hurt.
Yeah, we thought he was real this time, because he was like, his wrist was hurt, but he was grabbing everything, so we didn't know what the heck was going on with him. So we like,
out there with it, dang.
What'd you say?
I said, for a couple players, I was out there with it, dang.
Yeah, we was like, we don't know what's wrong with him, man. He went talking about my wrist. We're like, oh, man. Here we go again.
Wow. Hey, Pat P, I guess we got to wait and see what he has in store this upcoming camp, right?
Yeah. I hope nothing, though. We don't need none of those. Yeah. We don't need no scares.
No question. Hey, so what'd you say, Chris?
I said, I'm going to be good. I'm in the training room every morning.
Every morning. Go in the training room while you're feeling good. Don't wait for something to happen to go in there.
Yeah, man.
No question. Hey, so Chris, before we let you go, we're going to transition to the superlative part of our show. We're going to hit you with rapid fire questions. Want your honest answer, unbiased answer. More hated rival, Oklahoma or Green Bay?
That's hard.
You got to pick one. Who do you hate the most?
Oh, you.
Yeah. Obviously, you got to say Oklahoma.
Yeah, I felt like you would go Oklahoma.
Yeah, I got about it too.
Did you hate Oklahoma before going to Texas, or all that hate just started when you went to Texas?
I think the hate. So like, I was considering OU at a point when they was recruiting me, and I think the hate. So and of course, watching Curtis, I knew that the robbery was there. And when I was considering OU, I was like, damn, Curtis might whoop my ass when he see me. let me not even play with that. So I don't know. It was always a dislike at a point. But the hate began when I got there, I would say. Mm-hmm. And coming through that tunnel, going through the whole game day preparation, seeing them, they seeing you, you know, pulling up on the bus. Y'all had y'all rivals. You know how when y'all on the bus and they fans flipping you off and everything, they used to drop me like, yeah, you wait till I get out there to have that friend, that smile turn upside down into a frown.
Yeah. And
nothing like
it, man.
No question.
And talking with their players, and I'm talking about before kickoff, you want to rip somebody, like one of their heads off. You hate the maroon color.
Mm-hmm.
So like that. It was there, but it grew more and more over time.
Yeah, I can feel that. In your mind, I think I know you're going to pick. Who is your funniest teammate?
Funniest teammate?
Yeah. That's not yourself. Your teammate.
It would probably be out of, I say, Cam or Amir.
Yeah, I sure thought you would say.
Cam or Amir.
Yep, those were my two candidates as well.
Least favorite part about Minnesota winners?
Negative.
When it hit negative?
Negative. That's all. It don't even matter what it is. Once it hit negative. Negative. Single, too. Because when it single, negative. You feel it in bones.
Yeah. It's a different type of cold. Good thing y'all got an endo.
No doubt about it.
Come on.
No doubt about it.
All right.
Good thing y'all got an endo facility in an endo stadium.
Yeah, definitely for sure.
I would cry. Tears.
Can you remember when they were building a new stadium, they had to play in the Gopher Stadium, which is the outdoor stadium. Just imagine that.
Mm.
And they made it to the playoffs that year.
Yeah, they had the COVID game in the NFL history or something like that.
Yeah, that's when they lost to Seattle by a field goal in the playoffs. Just imagine what that was feeling like.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Hey, well, Chris, man, that's about it. It's a wrap, man. Thank you for finally joining us here. All things covered, Pat Peterson, Brian McFadden. The fans going to be fired up about this one. And, man, the schedule, man, I know, man, tickets are already probably scarce. For home, that week one matchup, that should have been prime time.
Yes,
they should have had. You guys play Monday night instead of seeing Denver play Seattle Monday night. That's what they should have done. Nobody wants to see Seattle.
That one is,
huh?
No, I didn't know Denver was playing Seattle
Monday night.
Yeah, that's a big time.
Against his old woo-woo.
Yeah, but nobody wants to see Russell Wilson play against Drew Locke or Geno Smith, whoever going to be the starting quarterback. You know Seattle in the rebuild. Let's keep it real. They're just surviving right now. I mean, Monday Night Football, first week of the season, is about the quarterback matchup and two teams that have playoff aspirations. So – I understand they want to give Russell his flowers, his homecoming on a national stage, but come on, man. We really won't see that.
I hope.
We don't want to see that. Hey, Pat P, I got a question for you, golf question. Chris, you play golf?
No.
Pat, why not? Tell them why not. Why don't I play golf?
I don't know. You tell me.
You want to fight him. I hope Cam sees it too, so we can tell.
Yeah, see, this is what I told them. This is why they don't play golf. Like, I don't have time to teach them, man. I don't have time.
Yeah, Pat a professional. Them. He ain't trying to. He trying to get his game together. He a professional, man.
Exactly. Oh, I told them that.
back to back.
What you say?
You know already. I watched Happy Gilmore three times back to back.
Happy man, Gilmore. That ain't gonna help the golf game, Chris.
No, that's a movie.
That boy, hey, my drive is, I'm gonna go ahead.
Hey, Pat, you can keep him on the green. He can be your caddy, can't you?
He can be the caddy.
Fans, also let us know what game you're excited about. You know, when you look at the Vikings schedule, you know exactly when they're playing their teams. Let us know what your thoughts, and let us know what you think you should see from this defense and the guys in the secondary. Chris Boyd, Pat P, will be in the secondary. I mean, y'all, if y'all can go out and get like 25 picks as a secondary,
yeah, that's the recipe.
That's the recipe. That'd be dope. Got to be in the 20s.
Yeah. We taking zone.
Yeah, yeah. Final game. Hey, Chris, I'll see you at the Super Bowl party too.
Yes, sir. You will.
No, I see a Super Party. I just thought about that.
Yes.
Yeah. And hey, you got to Pat P say he'll show up and won't show up. So we got to make sure he show up.
Oh, I'll be there. Oh, I'll be there, Jack. Oh, I will be there.
Hey. Hey, but Chris, man, pleasure catching up with you, man. Make sure you stay healthy. Stay in the training room.
I got you. Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
All right, my guy. See you tomorrow.
This is Tony Kornheiser's show. I'm Tony. You expected someone else? So what exactly is the show about? I don't know. It's a sports show nominally. Football's over, but we're finally at a point where things matter in college basketball, and baseball season is on deck. Greatest three words in the English language, pitchers and catchers. We have some of the best voices come on and explain what matters or what makes an upset, like Ryan does, 9-8. No, that's not an upset. No, yeah, it is, Bob. And if you're lucky, I might just tell you about my search for discounted sleep pants or my worries about what my dog just ate. Listen on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.